We're live.
Yeah. You know, it's easy. It's easy to have other opinions. So we're not trying to say that we have got it figured out by any stretch of the imagination. Obviously, what we know about God, His character, and His ways are limited, to say the least. This side of heaven, we'll never understand all that God's got and what He's doing. Same with the Holy Spirit. We know what we can understand from the Scripture, and this is our, this is the best of the way we understand it. This is the way Grace Chapel understands it, I hope. That's the way it comes out today. Mm-hmm. But just briefly, I think I've already told you this, so if I have, you'd have to forgive me. But, you know, BJ and I have been married 34 years. I used to say we've been happily married 27 years, 34 total. But that's not true. I grew up Baptist. She grew up Baptist. We met at a Baptist church. That's going to sound great, isn't it, on the recording? After just a year or two, we wound up at an Assembly of God church and loved it. At the Baptist church, when you start talking about God's, the Holy Spirit, you know, in the Baptist church, it's all, He's your comforter. For us, that's all we ever got, basically. Holy's about the Holy Spirit. He's our comforter. You didn't get a lot else there. Got to the Assembly of God, the Holy Spirit spectrum got larger. Then we started a Vineyard church in our home. And when you start a church, I don't know if any of you have ever been in a church startup, but when you start a church, my experience was you get all the crazies. For all the people that didn't fit in other churches, they want to come to your church and make your church what they missed. So then you have to filter out. Yeah, that was a crazy thing because we had 4 months in our house. So that was an experience in its own. Well, after that, you know, you started to realize what balance looks like. You know, I felt like in the Baptist church, we missed a little balance. I felt like in the assembly, you know, with the focus on the Holy Spirit, we missed balance. And certainly, looking at all the crazies that came through, we missed some balance. It turned out great, probably because most of those people didn't stay. But, you know, that's just the way it is. It was good in that had I not ever gone through that, you would never appreciate, this is recorded, but you wouldn't appreciate a church like Grace Chapel to me, because I think Steve does an incredible job at bringing balance to the table. In your book, the first topic, let's read that real quick. The Holy Spirit is the top one. God's power and authority in Christ are the two most controversial, argued, debated, resisted truths in all of Scripture. God's power and our authority in Christ are two of the most controversial truths in all of Scripture. Why is that? Who teaches about it? Pastors don't understand it because it's controversial and highly debatable, so they want to stay away from it. So in churches, pastors don't preach on it that much. I'm not talking about all churches, but in general, pastors stay away from it. Therefore, nobody understands it. So then you're in this catch-22. No, there you seldom ever get any real teaching on the Holy Spirit, God's power, and our authority.
I would even say too, with that, you know, people either when they think they're preaching on it, they're not preaching to kind of give you the whole picture of it. They're pursuing an event. They're pursuing something and then calling that preaching on the Holy Spirit. And so instead of talking about who He is, we just want what He has. And that's what I think we see a lot. Where you're speaking about balance, it's like we're not over here trying to go, okay, this is how much Spirit we're going to have today and this is how much truth. It's like it's all like the same God and all truth. And so He actually is, you know, There's balance brought by just exposing more of who God is. And so, I don't know, it's just important to note that, you know, I think people do talk about it. They just talk about it. through pursuing just the gifts that he brings instead of the truth of who he is. That's an important note.
There's a guy here that I used to know, or still know, used to be a good friend of, that was one of the best Bible guys I ever knew. He was one of those guys that if you ever were stumped on a scripture, all you had to say is, hey, where's that verse? Oh, yeah, that's blah, blah, blah. Always. You know, when he was in high school, he got a ministry off the ground that just turned into a phenomenal deal. And his whole life has been that way. Just, he's more ministry than he is business guy, really. But he works as a business guy. He's not a full-time pastor. You know Jimmy Harris, you met him, this discipleship pastor. Fantastic leader. Extremely anointed in discipleship. Don't ask him a lot about the Holy Spirit. Because he says he was never taught it. He was never taught about the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, he said, I thought it was funny in our staff meeting one day, he blares out about what an awful prayer he is, which is not true, but it's like, what? But you are what you've been taught. And, you grow up in a church culture. If you're never exposed to things, you don't understand them. And you shy away. You read over them when you're reading the scriptures. Mm-hmm. I asked my Bible dude, I said, why do you not have any of these gifts? Why do you feel like you don't have any of the gifts? Because he said it in a way like, well, God never gave me any of those gifts. You know, kind of like, it's like we know that we receive salvation by faith. You have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. You have to ask for forgiveness of sins. But some people have the connotation that once you're saved, anything beyond that, if you get it, it's just because God gives it to you. Like gifts. You have to, if he wants me to speak in tongues, he'll just, boom. I'll just wake up one morning, there it'll be. I thought, well, you have to ask for everything else. Why would you not have to ask or pursue any of the other things as a Christian?
Or why would God force himself on you, you know, when he's never done that before either?
So I asked him, I said, did you ever ask? He said, no. But then that was the rest of his answer was that, well, if he wanted me to have them, you know, I'd have them. I'd have these gifts, right? And it just seemed, it just struck me as odd. But that's the result of having grown up in a culture where you're not taught how to receive gifts. That's one reason I want you guys to do steps, to do next steps. In next steps, it is so good at teaching you how to wait on God, how to hear the voice of God, how to study, how to pray, most of us don't know how to quit talking when we're praying. It's all about what I've got to tell God, right? And it's really, in your prayer time, is what you've got to share really the most important thing? No, it's not. But most of us don't know how to be quiet and hear God speaking back to you. And if you've never done that before, you'll have an opportunity to do that over there, and it will blow your mind at what you get out of that, what you'll learn, that you'll carry the rest of your life. It's really good. And some of you may be like, oh, who doesn't know how to do that? But most of the people don't. You also get a chance to give your testimony. And
you don't want to scare them now.
Well, that's funny. I always thought that was funny, but people get so wound up about having to give their testimony. 3 minutes or less, or Myron gets the cane and pulls you off the stage. How many people have ever shared their testimony? Well, good. Well, it's not that big of a deal here then, but anyway.
So we're all going to head up to the sanctuary now. We would love to hear your story.
Paul said, now concerning matters of the Holy Spirit, I would that you not be ignorant. And yet that's exactly where we are. 2,000 years ago, he knew. He knew that was the case. But here we are. Nobody's teaching about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. John said in 3:30, he must decrease so that Jesus in me can increase. And I didn't, I don't know, when I read that, I took it to be in close relation to why you pray to receive the Holy Spirit daily. So that, because the more you ask for Holy Spirit to fill you, the less you are. The more you're inviting Christ to fill you, the more Christ is in you. And that's I thought a good analogy in that verse. There was got it on the plant and had thousands of employees, and he did real well. He had a son that he did not want to be raised as a privileged child because he had to grow up working for everything he had. And he told his son, he said, I love you, but he said, I know all the country club guys, and, you know, I do not want to raise my son. I don't want to raise you as a privileged child. You are going to work in the plant from the bottom up. You're going to have normal friends. You're going to work for what you have. And that's the way I think it's got to be. Now, the key in this is you can't tell anybody that you're my son, because once they find out that you're my son, everything changes. You can't function anymore in the plant as just a normal employee, because they'll know you're not. They'll know that you're the owner, of the son of the owner. So he understood it, and he agreed. Well, he also told him, he said, now later, you know, when you're ready, you know, we'll do it different. He said, okay. So there was a time as he was growing up, he wasn't ready. But when, as an adult, and he was mature, he went to his dad and he said, you know, I'm done with this. If it's okay, he said, I think I'm ready. And the dad knew he was ready, so he called the plant together and he goes, okay, you know who this is? You've worked with him for all these years. He actually is my son. And as my heir, he now owns the plant. So he has all the power and authority that I have in this plant. And do you think in that story that that guy can go back into the plant the next day and go back to the dock and just start working with his dudes? Can you imagine what that would look like? He's trying to be one of the guys again. Can he even go back in the plant and look at the people that he worked with the same way as he did before? Everybody's different. Everything's changed all of a sudden. Now he's the heir. He's a joint heir to the whole deal and has all the power that his dad did. All of a sudden, he has a huge responsibility now to act, and there's a huge responsibility that comes with that power, right? You can't just have it and not operate in it. You have to. It'd be like his dad coming into work one day and saying, I don't want to be an owner today. I'm just going to be one of the dudes. I'm not going to take my responsibility for all this power. I'm just going to hang out. The business wouldn't last very long, would it? There would be nobody in charge. There's a responsibility that we have to walk in his power out every day. That is our responsibility. It brings us to this first topic, God's power in the Christian life. I'm going to speed through these because I've got like 3 minutes to finish.
There's only 13 points, though.
Yeah. I'll speed read. The Holy Spirit is the Father and will dwell with and in you. The Holy Spirit will teach you and remind you of what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit points you to Jesus. That is in line with what I was just saying. When you're in a fellowship where it's all about the Holy Spirit, you're out of balance. Because the Holy Spirit always takes you to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's work in our life is meant for our advantage. In fact, I want to read that. Y'all read that with me. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. I didn't mean out loud. Because I'll lose my place.
I just love it.
All right. Nevertheless,
I tell you the truth.
No, he erased that. I tell you the truth, it is to our advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sins and my righteousness, of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to the Father and see, and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say, but you cannot bear them now. That's the same point that the Father was making to the Son in the plant. There are a lot of things he had to say to him, but he was not ready for that. There's a, you know, I don't know where all of us are in our walk, but, you know, you remember from Jimmy's class on the wheel, we're all in different places in our maturity. You know, you wouldn't expect to grab a 2-year-old and expect him to operate fully in the gifts of the Spirit, right? Well, it's the same way in our spiritual walk. A lot of us are 2-year-olds. Some of us aren't. But there's a time in your life that you're ready. And that's what one of the things I think this is telling us here. I still have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them right now. So you have to, you would know when you're ready to receive more of what God has for you, no matter what that is. Mm-hmm. The disciples received the Holy Spirit after Jesus rose from the dead. A lot of these are very related. Jesus' last command to the disciples was to wait for the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is an ongoing event for the disciples, being continually filled. Ongoing. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is an ongoing event for the disciples.
And that just makes sense, though. You know, you continually, I find myself kind of in these situations where I'm going and life's getting after it, and you're doing ministry, you're doing, you know, family or whatever your life is consisting of, work or and you don't you need it ongoing? You know, it's like there's a thing for me that sometimes we forget, like our power comes from Him, and so yet we rely on yesterday's anointing for today's calling, and it's like that's we need today's ongoing filling to get us through what God's calling us to do. That's a big thing.
It's not like you have less power tomorrow than you did today. I think to some degree you forget how much power you have. Mm-hmm. So you have to ask really to help you remember. You know, it's not all about just remembering, but you know, if you ask for all of God's power today and 2 years from now you hadn't asked Him anymore, would you really remember in 2 years what God's doing in your life, and would you be able to walk it out? Because, you know, we were just talking about how bad we forget. At least I do. That's why it's important. We had a... let me go to this last one, this next one. Paul tells the church to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Number 9. Then 10. Some Christians may have never had the Holy Spirit fall on them after their salvation experience. Number 11. Some Christians have never heard that the Holy Spirit wants to fall on them. And 12 is... Do in the book of Acts to receive the Holy Spirit.
We need an edit on number 13.
I had a good friend that used to come to the Vineyard Church and speak. He was a retired colonel. And he would stay with us at our house when he was in town. He operated in this way. Everywhere he went, God would speak to him, and I'd never witnessed that so precisely before. We all go into the restaurant after church, and Rich wasn't with us. And neither was the waitress. Our waitress wasn't with us. That normally always waits on our table. So I went back to try to find Rich, and he was outside. He was around the corner. She was in the restaurant, and he was standing there with her. She was bawling her eyes out. I thought, okay. So I went back to the table, and the preacher said, what was that? I said, I don't know. The waitress is over there. Rich is praying with her. He thought, So Rich comes to the table, and I said, what was that about? He said, we were all filing in, and he said, as I walked by that girl, I just felt the Lord tell me, ask her if I can pray for her. Ask her if you can pray for her. And I thought, ooh, you know, the restaurant's busy, you know. I thought, okay. And he said, I did. I just asked her. And it turned out, when he asked her, she just started bawling. She had asked God that day, that morning, if He was real, to show her. And that kind of thing happened all the time. I've seen Steve do that from the pulpit many times. Mm-hmm. Just call people out. So y'all need to straighten up.
He will get you.
Kurt Beasley. Kurt Beasley. Y'all haven't had Kurt in here yet, have you? I don't think so. Kurt Beasley invited a friend, an old friend, to church. The guy shows up to church, finally, just out of the blue. And he said, oh, man, I'm glad to see you today. He said, man, what is up with all this traffic? And he was so wound up about the traffic and the parking and all this stuff. He was bringing some stuff with him, right? So Kurt's sitting with him. Steve calls him out in service and says, What are you thinking? No, I'm kidding. That's not what Steve said. Steve said he affirmed him for about 5 minutes in who he was in the Lord. You think that guy needed that day? Kurt was like, yes, yes. And, you know, the guy was just, you know, he had never heard of that before. But I've heard Steve do that several times. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Yeah. Dave Buring. I got a little note from my wife. Dave Buring, you know, in his lesson last week, he's jogging. And he passes that girl, remember? And he's thinking, God, he felt like God was saying to speak to her, but he didn't. And then he realized that they were going to turn around and they would meet again. And he said, God, if you want me to say something to her, you know, make that available. And it did. He did make it available. And there comes the same girl again. And same, you remember the same story. So he had a chance to pray with her. And I've always thought, and I have had that habit. It happened a couple weeks ago here. But that's just a gift that I think is probably one of the coolest of all. When God can just use your mouth and speak through you and as you live life. You don't have to go around with a gigantic cross and a Jesus Lives bumper sticker and all those things. Maybe it's effective. I Randy's got one on his car. But he didn't wear his necklace today.
Gold chain.
But, you know, it's like that to me is the best way to live. If God can use, if the Holy Spirit can give you what people need that are around you, and you don't, it's not just one of those kind of, is this me? You need Jesus, you know, kind of things. It's when he gives you what they need and you know that they need it right then, and you know that it's a good fit. And it's just the best to me. And so that's my desire, to be able to walk in that. Okay. Now, Ian, he can introduce himself a little further.
Yeah.
And he's going to learn us up on our authority.
That's right. It's my authority to do that.
It is.
No, so again, my name's Ian. No, I'll use mine. So, do you want this stool so you don't fall?
Okay. No.
That stool's tricky. So, my name's Ian. I have a beautiful wife. She serves in the kids ministry and four awesome little kids there. We populate the kids ministry here, so job security for a youth pastor. But we have four kids, four and under, so if I start falling asleep or anything like that, just give me grace and let me sleep, because I'm tired. No, I'm kidding. But today, it's exciting to come down here and talk to you guys, especially about such a powerful message about our authority and the authority we have in Christ, something that I think oftentimes we overlook and we forget about, and we kind of, you know, in the name of humility, in the name of being gracious and meek and gentle, we forget that, like, we have a boldness and an authority to do things in the name of Jesus by the power of the Spirit. And so so it's exciting. I need this as much as you guys need it. You know, an ongoing filling of God's Spirit and a reminder about what our authority is something that I crave. I want that. I had a really neat filling of the Spirit moment early on in my faith. I remember I came to know Jesus and I got saved and radically relieved of addictions and stuff like that. But had this wild moment with God and really had this contentment that it was just like that was enough. Like, just being saved was enough. But was really blown away by what God offered me in post salvation life. And then I remember crying out one night. It was me and a buddy, and there was probably living with a bunch of dudes, and there was probably six of us in the upstairs of this house, and we started praying one night, just kind of thanking God, having this very, like, thankful heart, and through that had this pretty awesome experience where we all just were really crying out to God together and crying and repenting, and that was a moment that I can really recall, like, that was a filling of the Spirit. I didn't have to have some qualifiers or anything like that. Like, I knew I had walked in a new place with God. I'd met a new part of who God was. And that was probably the first moment that I remember really receiving the Holy Spirit beyond just what I had at salvation. So that was a big moment for me. And then I'll tell you another kind of wild Holy Spirit story. In ministry now, I've been I don't think I was a pastor yet at this point. This was last year, right before my twins were born, so they're 2 years old. So I was just a middle school leader at that point. I was still on staff. But I was in ministry. I loved it. I loved people. I loved God. I loved talking about God and teaching God and really just teaching the gospel to whoever would listen. And so middle school is where I got put, and I love them. I think it's just an amazing thing. And so I had been doing that for a while and just got a little, I guess, jaded maybe a little just dried out, a little like, all right, God, you know, limiting. I in my own belief, in my own understanding, I was limiting what God would do in my life and what he could do. And I went to this conference, and I took my wife with me, and we had a baby that had we had a miscarriage earlier that year, and so she was tired and worn out. We were really having children was a sensitive thing, and at that moment you're just kind of freaking out a little bit about it. And so we went to this conference, and we show up, and it is like, you know, if we're charismatic here, it was wildly charismatic there. I mean, we walk into this conference, and it's like, I mean, everything you've ever seen and heard about. I mean, we were just going, oh, man, the church sent us here. Like you know, because I just signed up for this conference. It was about the Father God, and we were excited to learn more. But anyways, it was wildly charismatic. And after the first day, we were a little like, oh, I don't know, do these people really understand? And they're just, you know. And so we prayed that night together and said, God, if you're in it, we don't want to miss any part of you. Whatever is of you, I want all of it. Like, I don't want to limit who you are by my own understanding, my own uncomfortability. And so whatever you have for us, we open ourselves up to you and say, God, have your way. Because, like, I might not be comfortable with what they're doing and how they're acting and what they're saying, but you know what? You're bigger than me in my comfort zone. And that was a revelation moment for us that the next morning, unbeknownst to me, Amanda's praying and she's going, God, if we're going to have another baby, it's going to have to be because you tell us. I'm not doing the pregnancy test thing. I'm not doing all that. And so we walk into this conference that morning. I kid you not, not three strums into the first worship song, I look back and my wife is just boo-hooing and this lady is kind of hovering over her. And I'm going, really? This quick? Hold it together, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what's going on. And so I look back and go, what's going on? And we had actually sat separate that morning because we wanted God to speak to us, you know. And so I look back. She's in the row behind me, which is uncommon. I walk back there. I said, what's going on? She goes, this lady just told me that God told her to tell me that I'm pregnant. And so I'm like, wow, that's bizarre. And then this other lady, y'all, walks up, and she goes, I know what she just said, and you need to know that it's twins. And we were like, really? What? And so we go, sure enough, go get a pregnancy test at lunch, and she's pregnant. 2 months later, we get back here, and sure enough, it was twins.
Oh, my God.
And so it was a wild moment, and it's a reminder, even saying it, I get kind of chills, and not the emotional side. It's just like, God is big, y'all, and like his ability to do things, and then people joining him in his ability to be walking their own authority, right? Like, how bold was it for those two to come up and say that to somebody? But they were walking under the authority of God, sent by God, doing what God had called them to do, matched with his power to invade the natural with the supernatural. We live in an adventure, right? And that's who God is, and that's what we have. Yeah, absolutely.
Listen to this. I didn't know his story. We had started this Vineyard Church, and we were meeting in a rented building. And the worship, the ministry team from a Birmingham church, he came to visit us, and so we're up front on the prayer team. Actually, BJ's version is different, but anyway, we're there. My version's right. We were on the prayer team. We were on the prayer anyway.
26 good years.
So yeah. So this 17-year-old kid that I didn't know, and had came up and he said, I don't know if this is from God, he said, but I just feel strongly to share this with you. I see you and your wife holding a baby in a nursery, a baby boy in a nursery. We had two girls. Always wanted a boy. In fact, we didn't even want girls. Didn't like them. And we wanted boys. We knew that. And we had two girls in a row. And then I had a vasectomy. I know you wanted to know that. And
oversharing.
Well, so here comes this kid that and he's got this word for me from God that we're going to have a baby in a nursery, and I'm thinking, having known my medical condition.
He missed that one.
Yeah, and really, I said, God, you know, thank you so much. Thank you so much. So 2 years go by, and BJ is just relentlessly nagging. Are you sure we did the right thing? Are you sure we did the right thing? And I'm like, yeah, we did the right thing. Finally, I said, check into a reversal. Let's just check into it and see. If, you know, so she does. And 2 weeks later, I'm on a table in Arkansas having a reversal, thinking nothing about that kid ever. So, anyway, he said, we can't get pregnant for 90 days. So in 90 days, we're pregnant. And we knew we had a boy. We didn't have to ask. We didn't need to know whether it was a boy or girl. We knew it was a boy. So we're laying there, and she said, remember that kid? Remember his prophecy? And in all of my revelation, I'm sitting there on the front row. I'm thinking, I can't have a kid. 2 years later, we've got a little baby boy.
Golly, anyway. That's crazy. So yeah, that's God can do it, man. So let's jump into this. Number one, Jesus has been given all authority and has the right, that's a good word, to send us and make disciples. So we need to remember that when he calls us in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples. And I would encourage you to never forget this part, to teach them all that he commanded, right? That's a part of that great commission I think we leave out so much. Go and make disciples, and we go, well, how? Nobody knows, right? But it's like, oh, we actually do know how. It's through teaching them to obey all that Jesus commanded you. Check out the E3 challenge for more on that. Number two, Paul prays that the church would understand the concept of Christ's authority and power that is ours because of it. I want to note here, authority is exousia. That is the legal right and raw power to do something. I love that word. I've always thought it was so cool. That's kind of where we get the root word explosion, or to explode. It's that. It's the same concept. And so it's just important to remember, like, God's power is big, and it's like dynamo power, big time. You know, that's awesome. So not that it's going to, like, kill you, but in the other cool way. So Jesus' right to all authority has demonstrated in the spirit realm when he was crucified. So Jesus disarmed demonic powers openly, publicly, humiliating them and triumphing over them on the cross through his death. He has authority over every name. I think that's important, especially in a society like this one. Everywhere, because he has disarmed all principalities. It's important to note that that Jesus isn't equal to anyone. The name of Jesus isn't on par with anyone. It's you know, you see these posters and coexist, and there's these billboards up right now. Jesus and Muhammad, the same God, the same. It's like no, wrong. It's like we stand on the firm belief here that Jesus is above every name, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So that is our belief at Grace Chapel. Jesus showed his authority by healing those oppressed by the enemy. Yes.
I was just reading this week in John 18.
Yeah.
That when Jesus was in the olive, you know, the garden of the olive garden. Thank you.
Olive garden. He's getting an all-you-can-eat salad.
And Judas came with the soldiers.
Yes.
And they said, Jesus of Nazareth, and he said, I am he. And it said they all fell backward to the ground.
Mm-hmm. That's that power. Absolutely. It's big. And so Jesus showed his authority by healing those oppressed by the enemy. It's so important to note, how does he recognize, like, or how do we see that authority play out? He, like, blows people off their feet, and he, like, heals people that are oppressed. It's like, so he's just going, hey, you can't have it. You can't keep it. So he's demonstrating that for us through healing. Jesus' purpose in coming was to destroy. I love what it says there, to dissolve, melt, and loosen Satan's work. right? So there's just something about it. It's like Satan's got this whole plan, and he's got his mission, and he's got everything all coordinated, and Jesus is coming to dissolve, melt, and loosen his plans. It's like, you got to know he's mad about it. So even now, as you guys are taking, you know, some of you here, there's such a diverse crowd here. There's people that are just coming to know the Lord. There's people that have been in the church forever. But all of us standing together, learning about the Holy Spirit, learning about the truth, not trying to figure it, but we're learning about who God really is through his word. We're all putting a little bit of a bullseye on our back because he's angry about the fact that, like, Jesus came to dissolve his work. And we're going, well, Jesus is above every name. And so, and it's just interesting. So just be prepared. And we'll talk more about your armor here in a minute. Jesus' disciples have all authority, exousia, legal right, raw power over the enemy and the spirits and demons. They are subject and subordinate to us in Christ. Talk about something that people don't want to talk about a lot, because that's funny feeling, right? Like if I ask you, Steve, like, do you feel like you have that authority to, like, call out demons in front of me? You're, like, most people go, like, I don't know about that. And right, like, I can I be honest? Like, I don't, it feels funny, but we have it. That's the truth. Like, we don't stand on something that's not true. We're standing on the reality that this is what the Word of God says. I'll even read in Luke chapter 10, it says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions all over the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice in your names are written in heaven. So a little precursor to that. I went to Bible college with a guy, and he was all about the gift of healing, right? And I want all the gifts. I don't just want one of the gifts. I want, like, every gift God has for me. But he was a healer, right? And he said, my hands would get hot, and I could pray for you. And I'm not knocking anybody here. I'm just going, man, you know what? Like, that's not what we should be focused on. Be focused on the fact that, like, we have a common unity in Christ through in heaven, and, like, man, you can pray for healing for me, or you could pray for her. It's like we all have that power. It's not just in one guy, one healer, one, you know, it's like we all have the power of healing. And we don't need to revel just in the reality that we have authority to heal or authority to cast out demons. We have, like, our name is written in heaven. That's awesome. That's what we should be excited about. And I think that humility is actually where our power comes from. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it awesome too, you think, you know, where Christ said, you know, we'll be able to do greater things than him. Mm-hmm. That blows my mind. It's like, what? Mm. What in the world is that going to look like? Or
this idea, when the Lord uses us to bring people to Christ, that's salvation. That's born again and saved. If Christ hadn't died on the cross, that would never have happened. Mm-hmm. So in my understanding, that's one of the big...
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Very good.
That's good. All right, so number 8, Christians have authority because they have been raised up and are seated in the heavenly places in Christ. Where Christ is a place of authority. We have God's love, God's word, God's power, new identity as sons and daughters. We sit in heavenly places in Christ, being given all authority over the enemy. No wonder demons are subject to us. So I just think it's such a good reminder, and I mean, again, just being honest, there are times that you just don't feel like an heir. There are times that you're kind of working, and you kind of want to just go, like, man, I don't feel like I'm the heir to, like, the king of the universe, right? Like, I don't feel like a co-heir with Christ. Emotions aren't, like, reality, by the way. It's like they're a good indicator of it, but they're not the truth. So just because you don't feel like it doesn't mean it's not true. So it's just super important for us to remember that, even in our low times. And, you know, I mean, I'd say Sunday afternoons are tough for me to, like, be spiritually, because I think all morning we're just trying to do this thing. We're walking in it, and all of a sudden it's like that afternoon you're going, man, I'm kind of exhausted. And it's hard to remember, though, like, I have power and authority even when I don't feel like it. You know, it's like the kid who doesn't, you know, just because you say you're not a son doesn't mean you're not a son. The blood still flows through your veins. You can't undo sonship. And so, man, it doesn't matter how many legal documents you put in between it. Blood is blood. And we're blood-bought heirs to the throne. And so we got to remember that. You have power in that. So number 9, the early followers of Jesus understood that the power of the name and exercising their spiritual authority to expand the kingdom of God. Number 10, the original 12, Philip and Barnabas, had faith that the name of Jesus has power. So we need to remember that as well. Number 11, Paul knew and exercised the power of the Jesus name. The name of Jesus, I think, is what that's saying. He exercised it. He walked in it. He did something with it. I think all too often, man, we sit around, you know, we go, well, I got power and you got power, and we should all just kind of huddle up and get our power on, you know. But it's like, no, like, we should do something with it. Exercise it. Get out there and use it. I'm not saying go hunt the demons or something. I'm saying, like, go out there and talk to people. Use the authority you have for the positive. I think sometimes we think it automatically equals warfare when we're exercising the power of the Spirit. That's not necessarily true. Like, the Spirit woos people to Jesus. So just get out there and, like, be attractive for the gospel's sake. And I don't just mean dressing well. I mean, like, acting like the hands and feet of Jesus is a massive way to exercise your power, right? Nothing innately in you wants to go serve people, right? Like, we're selfish. But yet the Spirit of God draws us out. So don't resist that. Don't just clump up. Get out there and do something with it.
I think that's the biggest difference between Christians as a rule. You know, you're saved by grace, just holding out till God comes and takes us home. You know, so you're just getting up every day and just trying to make it through the day. The difference between that life, which is, I think, the majority, and what Ian's talking about, is the realization of what power you've got to walk out that life. Most people don't realize you don't have to just hold out until Jesus comes back and just takes us home, gets us out of this misery. That's not the way Jesus walked.
Yeah, like, he actually lived a life. You know, I think all too often we sell the gospel short, right? Myron's going to get on to me because I'm going out a different direction. We sell the gospel short because the gospel, we say, is Jesus died and rose again to forgive us our sins. For what? Well, for heaven. So someday we can spend eternity with him in heaven. Well, then my question to you is, why did he live 30 years? To teach us how to live like him. He gave us the authority to live, and so he lived. He showed us how to live. So the life Jesus lived is actually how we can live in his kingdom now. It's a massive thing to start grappling with. And when we get that, we realize our life has a lot more purpose here than we want to say. We don't ever want to go, well, just get us out of here. I'm tired of this. He's like, well, I've got you there for a reason. So it'd be like my daughter saying, like, I'm done with the nursery. I hate it here. It's like, well, good. Keep it up. Right, so this is a good note. Using Jesus' name without the right relationship with him is never a good idea. You've heard the stories. Oftentimes, guys would be trying to cast out demons or do something in the name of Jesus, and they didn't actually know Jesus, so they didn't have the right relationship with him. And it was a miss, and they would get whooped for it. You know, I think about the guys who, they say, the demons knew Jesus and Paul. I don't know how that's read. But they didn't know the itinerant exorcist. So they beat him up bad. I mean, they hurt him. So anyways, I would just encourage you. It's like, this isn't a, you know, you hear that term, fake it till you make it. Get out there and start doing stuff. It's like, relationship is the most important thing. Knowing Jesus, talking to Jesus, communing with Jesus, pursuing Jesus. We could just, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Get to know him, and through that relationship, power comes. This isn't a thing where we go out and just start acting like a Christian, you know, acting like a, you know, we've got all this authority in Jesus' name. You know, just because you say Jesus doesn't mean that's going to happen. It's through relationship with him that he endows us with power through his Spirit. So just important to note, I wouldn't recommend faking it.
Well, another thing on that same note, my son, I think I've said this, he's 17, and he's filled with the Spirit. He's just an incredible kid. And he's one of those that wants to pray for everybody. Did I already tell you this? You know, it's interesting to watch him walk through that, because it's just like Ian said, you don't always get it right. But the important thing is not to wait until you know, until Jesus is glowing in front of you and pointing and going, has a sign. You know, there may be things that you miss, just like my son's. He was set back. You know, he goes up and he's trying to pray for people, and they really weren't receiving it very well. And so that, you know, he's like, ooh. So he's learning, you know, to hear the voice of God. But the point is, you start walking. You start doing it. You can't wait on the perfect scenario. It's important that you realize you just start doing it. You mess up a little bit, you learn. you learn a little bit better how to hear God's voice, you know, and as different from your voice.
Yeah, I would even note, too, that success in the kingdom is different than success in the world. So as you're walking this out with the Lord, as you're walking under power and authority, your success is way tied to your obedience to the voice of God and way not tied to the results. The results are God's. You doing it or not doing it is really the only thing that matters. That's a huge lesson learner and a humbling experience that I remember learning firsthand. God says, do something, and I'm expecting Billy Graham revival, and there was no response, right? Like the first time I ever got asked to teach in public, I shared this in the sanctuary. I wrote like 15 pages of notes, and I was going to, you know, change the world, and I was going to go on a speaking tour afterwards, and I didn't realize I was terrified of public speaking. And so I get up to start talking, and I'm through all my notes. 4 minutes later, I'm like done. And I'm just like, that was horrible. And but, you know, it's like my outcome wasn't what God was after. It was my willingness to go, I will do it. That was where, and he said, okay, I'll make you a better teacher now.
Since you mentioned Billy Graham.
Yeah.
One of my notes that I didn't get to. Billy Graham, I heard him say, was that funny? Billy Graham said,
because he can't read them,
he knew that he was not a great preacher. And I'm thinking, what? Billy Graham's not a great preacher? Yeah. After he said that, I started thinking about his messages. He said, I'm not kidding. He said, if you took all my sermons and stacked them up and had all the great theologians come in and judge them, I wouldn't even rank. He said, it's not my sermons. He said, the reason he feels he has power, I mean, he has some success in his ministry, is because he has God's power when he's preaching. God's power is the thing that makes his message work. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's good.
That is crazy good.
All right, so we got to buzz through these real quick. Our authority in Christ comes with armor. So you're going to get a new cool superhero suit. That's really fun. I'm glad that you laughed at that. So anyways, we can find it in Ephesians 6:10. This lets us stand. I mean, this is the thing you need. I love noting this when I'm looking at the armor of God and talking about the armor of God. There is no armor on your back. There is no armor on the rear coverage. So you have a shield, a sword, and front coverage. You better not run because you have no coverage. Face the fight and walk into it. And use your power, use your authority. That's what will give you success. When you turn and run from it, you are wide open and susceptible to all sorts of the arrows and any daggers that want to come at you. So just a little side note, that one's free. Y'all don't laugh enough. There you go. So we've got the truth around our waist, feet prepared, shod with the gospel, shield of faith, quenches the darts. Helmet of salvation, a renewed mind, the sword of the Spirit, God's word, and so on. Number 14, put on the armor, and God helps us to be watchful, putting it on. So imagine, you know, and you think about these, this isn't like great insights, it's more observations. When you put on football pads, you are like thinking you're going to play football or else you're feeling foolish, right? Like if I just walked in today with football pads on and said, hey, guys, I'm wearing a Titans uniform, you'd be like, are you playing today? You know, no, I just, you know, threw it on. You know, like, no, like if you're putting on the armor, if you're putting on pads, if you're putting on the uniform, it's going to make you be in that mindset and that frame of mind. And other people will actually see it as well. So it's important to note that when we put on the armor, that is actually something that will get us into a watchful mindset, right? But when we don't put it on, we're not really worried about it. You know, it's like, I don't know. I might get into that today. I might not. I don't know. I might just kind of have a rest day. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So the more we just go on in the morning, get that armor on, think about these things, pray about these things, talk about it, that's going to get you in the mindset of being watchful for what the Spirit's doing and how you're living in the kingdom now. Massively important. Number 15, we're able to defeat the enemy due to Christ's authority. Amen to that. Him sharing that authority with us, his victory on the cross, and God's armor on us. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That should be like your life verse. Just a thought. Believers have the capacity to overcome
through God's power and walking in Christ's authority. Just can't overstate that how exciting that word overcome is. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, whatever bog you're in, whatever thing that has kind of caught you up, the ability to overcome is there because of Jesus. That's important, man. There's times in my life where we have, like, struggled. We have just had massive hurt and pain and just sorrows. And but the ability to look at Jesus and look at other people that have overcome through Jesus is huge. I'll finish with this. We had my three-month-old son at the time got turned over in the sheets. Couldn't breathe. Was we found him. He had lost consciousness. He had lost blood out of the nose and eyes, yellow and purple. I mean, he was, for all intents and purposes, gone. Heart stopped, and we found him like that. And it's like a paradigm shifter, you know. It's like everything changes in that moment. And we rolled him over, and I don't know what to do. I'm crying, like crying, looking at God, going, God, you know, this is all seconds, but it felt like a while. And I'm going, God, like how does this happen? And all I could think about was how Steve overcame through Josiah and Sarah overcame in our church, and watching that happen. And I know that happens all the time, but it's like this is you and faith happened, and all of a sudden I'm believing, and I just start pumping his chest and breathing his mouth, and he comes back. And today he's sitting up in the nursery playing. But it was an unreal moment to think about the fact of, like, what could happen. And even now, I mean, he's in therapies all the time, and he has to wear a bodysuit, and he's just got all sorts of things. But my wife and I stand on the reality that we can overcome anything. That doesn't mean it's easy, but we can do it because of what Jesus and what the Spirit has given us. So I just want to encourage you guys with that. I think we're going to move into a time of...
Well, let's question and answer, if you have any, first.
Don't we break for a minute and let them, small group?
Well,
okay. It's up to you.
Yeah. You don't have to look to her. You can.
Well, hey, she's the boss here. You're a peer with me out here.
Anyway, do you have any questions? Any questions? Not that we have any answers. I just like to hear questions.
I have one. Just kind of going back to kind of maybe how you grew up too with a Baptist upbringing, where you know, I kind of had a similar situation where you go from a Baptist church where you know the power is just, then you go to, you know, somebody's God or whatever, more spirit, like that's all their focus is. The one thing that I've always heard and just never really thought about again. Until today, it was on number 9, I guess is kind of where it brought it up, where Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I guess the argument that I always heard from the quote-unquote Baptist side versus the Assembly of God side of how the power of Christ isn't here anymore, like your gifts of the Spirit and things like that, because it didn't happen after Jesus left. Jesus wasn't here then, was he? When Peter...
You're talking about in Acts.
Wasn't Jesus already risen and in heaven?
What referencing?
Acts.
Yeah.
When Peter says to the layman to rise up and walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Jesus ascends in Acts chapter 1.
Jesus is already gone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's actually no biblical precedence for that belief.
And then are there more examples or other books out there? Wrote down somewhere, you know, their experiences outside of what we have in the Bible. Are there other examples that you know of?
Of what?
Holy Spirit.
Of where the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Oh, I would hope so. I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah, read Smith Wigglesworth.
Like, yes. Maybe after people that knew some of the disciples. There's
libraries full. And let me... the Holy Spirit is here now.
Oh, fully.
And, you know, it gets back to people that write books on to the contrary. You know, they speak of what they know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help
Dr.
all the things that they don't know.
Just because the train doesn't go by your house doesn't mean there's not a train.
That's good.
But yeah, I would encourage you. I think what you're referring to is, yeah, accounts. Go to look at Flavius Josephus. He's a non-biblical writer, but he was accounting things in the times of Jesus, and he might have some stuff in his writings and his chronicles that talk about that back then, after Jesus had gone, things that were still being seen. But I would say, too, that, I mean, the Bible validates it hugely. Because, like you said, Jesus goes on, but yet you see spirit movement all through the epistles and even into Revelation, which is the unveiling is what that means, revelation of who Jesus is. And if that's not wild, then you haven't read it. So, yeah, check that out. I would, Josephus probably has some accounts, and then there's probably a lot more we could find for you. I don't know of any besides that.
What time is it? It's 10 after. Yeah. Any other questions? Well, let's break into small group. We'll probably have to abbreviate it a little bit. I want you to think about this, though. Also, you know, some of you have never